It's bad enough. The government can tax away your income. Sometimes it just takes your whole house. It was 5 years ago this coming week that the Supreme Court decided in the case of Kelo versus New London that state governments can use the power of eminent domain to take private land, not just for public uses, such as roads or hospitals or libraries, but to give the land to other private entities, such as companies who want to put office buildings where you were once living. The Supreme Court majority ignored the most important constitutional distinction between public use of property and a mere, quote, public purpose, unquote, such as trying to enhance local tax collections. The Constitution permits takings for public use, not simply for some vague public purposes. But then, if the government stuck to the Constitution, we'd be living in a very different and much freer world. And another gem from our federal government. They've now made it so the single best economic move many people can make this year is to die. You heard me right. Dying could be the best money move as long as you do it before the new year. Our freedom fighters on this next. In February, a Texas oil tycoon who was the 74th richest man in the world died, and his heirs will inherit almost all of his $9 billion because of a one-year moratorium on the estate tax. If he had died next year, 55% of that money would have gone to the federal government. Only the federal government could give people an incentive to die sooner. Taking a hard look at the death tax, our freedom fighters this week, my Fox colleagues Elizabeth McDonald and Charlie Gasparino, Reason TV's Nick Gillespie, and political scientist Carolyn Heldman. Elizabeth, are they reaching out to the grave in order to take money from the wallets of dead people?
Yeah, and by the way, is it going to be, you never see a lockbox for this supposed revenue that's raised. By the way, being a student of the IRS, having testified for a Congress about the IRS and tax reform, I can tell you that half of the promised tax revenues that Bill Clinton said would come from his tax hikes in the early 90s did not come through. And instead, the cut in the capital gains tax and the death tax more than made up for that difference. And look, you hear Bill Gates and Warren Buffett supporting the death tax. They get to shelter their gains in all sorts of tax shelters, and also they get a lot of their income in capital gains, which is taxed at the lower rate.
Carolyn, why should the government be able to take 55% of what I want to leave to my children?
Well, this was initially put in place because of the growing gap between rich and poor as a result of the Industrial Revolution.
Meaning the government should redistribute. The government should redistribute wealth.
Yes, exactly. There was a concern that if this growing gap between rich and poor got so large that really only wealthy people would have a say in government. This is something put into place by Andrew Carnegie. FDR fought for this. And it makes sense now more than ever because that wage gap has actually doubled since 1980. And poor people and middle class people have very little voice in government. So this action to redistribute wealth, as you put it, is something that's very important for democracy.
And Nick Gillespie, that's a lot of baloney that poor people and middle-class people have no say in government.
Well, actually, what I was going to say is that there's no connection between taking 55% off the top of a billionaire. It's not going to help me. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help actually poor and powerless people in this country. And on top of that, it's immoral because all of this money has already been taxed multiple times. Enough is enough at a certain point. And the question is, a huge part of America and a huge part of moving upwards is being able to leave an inheritance to your kids, whether you make 20 grand a year or 200 grand a year. What we should be doing is figuring out ways to take Social Security, which is supposed to be a retirement plan, and allow that to be extended to the next generation.
Charlie Gasparino,
25,000, 30,000.
At some point, you and I have talked about this many times, at some point is taxation theft.
It is. I'm still getting over the fact that poor people, middle-class people, don't have any say in this country. Coming from a working class.
I didn't say any. I said little say.
Little say. Well,
they also don't pay a lot in taxes.
They have the same vote I had, and they voted for Barack Obama in multiple ways. And guess what? Barack Obama right now is redistributing wealth. And guess what? The economy is in the shape it's in right now because small businesses are worried about that redistribution. They are worried about being taxed at much higher rates. They are worried about the entitlements that are coming. And I'll tell you this, you want to stop poor people and working class people from working? Tax tax businesses.
Look, why does the government have to redistribute wealth?
Yeah, that's the issue. And look, you know, when you look at the IRS data, you look at the tax data, poor people do not pay taxes in this country. That's the fact. Right. And also, when you have an estate tax like this, it crowds out the dollars that could be given to charity. And by the way, it's only 1% of the total tax hike, $22 billion, and it's a one-for-one wash when it comes to the compliance costs to enforce it. So there's not a lot of revenue that's raised from the
tax. Carolyn, there's a knock at your door. You answer the door. Somebody has a gun, and he says, give me your money. I want to give it away to charity. You call the police. You find out he is the police. What kind of sense does that make?
I'm not sure, Judge, what that hyperbolic example is supposed to demonstrate.
It demonstrates that my neighbor can't steal my money to give it away. How can the government take my money and give it away?
Look, we're all part of a community. We pay taxes because we benefit from it. This anti-government sentiment is something that is not a part of what America is. I don't have an issue paying taxes because I know where my taxes go. And by and large, I'm in favor of what the government does.
All right,
it's only hang on. Gillespie, 55% is theft.
No, but I mean, besides the fact is that, you know, talking about the estate tax, there is no reason to believe that any of that money is going to help the poor or the disempowered or the marginalized.
Right.
You know, most of what the government is spending money on goes to middle class people who don't need it anyway.
It covers about the amount of money that's spent on pork every year. I mean, the ranks order of pork is behind the deficit. It only raises $22 billion. It's about the amount of money that is spent on, you know, congressional giveaways to their, you know, donors.
Charlie, I'm just astounded that higher taxes are actually good for this country, that anybody can really argue that right now, when the economic sort of statistics just show it right now. Small businesses are not hiring poor people for that reason. People are going back to Mexico because they can't get jobs here, because guess what? Businesses don't want to hire because guess what? They're afraid of Obamanomics.
Wow. Is this code for a new way the government will try to take money from you?
I say we can't afford not to change how we produce and use energy, because long-term costs to our economy, our national security, and our environment are far greater.
The green movement that will rob us of our green. President making it clear he's going to use the BP oil spill to push a green agenda and a host of new taxes. Politicians have been talking about alternative energies since Eisenhower, but so far nothing works as efficiently and inexpensively as oil. So at the end of the day, are the so-called environmentalists motivated by their love of nature or their dislike of capitalism, Charlie Gasparino?
Probably a combination of both. I mean, listen, I've always marveled at this notion of the green energy, because if it was that easy, if it was that efficient, wouldn't some smart capitalist have developed a car where you can, I guess, urinate in the gas tank and it works?
Like, all right, I'm not sure that we're going to use that. Nick Gillespie, and I don't expect you to reply to that. The state of Louisiana said to BP, you can drill 500 feet off the coast. It's safe. Right. It's easy to get down there. It's over the horizon. The feds made them drill in an area where no one had monitored before, and the feds had no experience before. Is it arguably the fault of the federal government we have this mess?
I think it's the fault of BP first and foremost, because they clearly didn't follow the best practices for capping wells and having backup systems. But there's no question that, you know, this is a federal issue. This is taking place in federal waters on a federal seabed. The feds regulate this. They were not doing their job as well. So there is a role for the government to play here, both in taking blame and figuring out what to do. None of this is going to get us any closer to alternative energy. It is going to create a huge new pool of money, or it already has. Who knows where that will go? Because the one thing that we know from past experience is that this fund will be used poorly, and it will be used very inefficiently.
Caroline, the last time the federal government distributed private funds like this was during Katrina. The fraud rate was between 16 and 20%. What do the feds know about distributing private dollars like this?
Well, with regard to the escrow account, it's actually an independent party that will be distributing it.
It's a political appointee, Caroline, isn't it?
But it was the same commission that put together the funding for the 9/11 victims, and I don't think, and their families, and I don't think that there was an issue of graft there.
I know Ken very well. He's the administrator of this fund. He's a nice guy, but he's a political appointee. He's an Obama-file.
Go ahead, Caroline.
But he has the stated goal of distributing funds to individuals who've been affected. I'm not really sure. It's less politic.
Should we trust the government with BP's funds? Should Joe Biden be able to say to the chairman of BP, give us $20 billion or we'll take it from you?
No, you shouldn't trust the government with these funds. And, Ken Feinberg does have a reputation for being brutally fair. But, I worry about this panel and who is going to be on the panel, who's going to decide who gets what in the payouts. We've seen these funds before used in the Dalkin Shield and tobacco litigation settlements. This is a victory for the trial lawyers. Who could have seen this? Any judgment? By the way, this case has not been adjudicated, vacated as we saw, practically vacated in the Exxon Valdez
Gillespie
case.
Isn't it a waste of time to talk about alternative energy when we know how well oil works when the government stays out of the process?
Look, historically, it's not even a question of what, because government's in the oil business. They regulate it, et cetera. But one thing we know, we have a cheap, plentiful, amazingly efficient and effective fuel source. That's not going to go away soon. And also, if past this prologue, the alternatives are not going to come clearly into view until we actually are at something like peak oil, which may never happen because, it's not that we're pumping the same oil out of the ground or the same gas or the same coal. There are constantly better and better ways to use this stretch it further and further.
Got it. Caroline Heldman, Nick Gillespie, Elizabeth McDonald, EMAC, Charlie Gasparino, thanks for joining us. When we return, there he is. Dennis Kucinich and I will go to war. Well, not really, but I'll explain next.